Wonderland, Part 5. Mavis. Mavis slapped a hand on Rose's shoulder and said, "Don't worry. I've got good gut feelings. Shoot, one time I told Mama I had gut feeling there was a black snake in the trunk of her boyfriend's car. And sure enough, there was. So I have this gut feeling that we're going to find that dog in the woods and that he won't belong to anyone, and that Mr. Duffy will love him and everything will turn out good." "I'm not allowed in those woods," Rose said. Mavis rolled her eyes. "Oh, good grief, Rose," she said. "No one's going to even know we're there. Besides, that's a dumb rule." "But what if Amanda's back there?" Mavis let out a big heaving sigh and ran a hand through her hair. "Who cares about Amanda?" she said. "Besides, she won't even see us. We'll be sneaky. I'm really good at being sneaky. But if she does see us, she'll tell her mama, and her mama will tell my mama, and..." "Okay," Mavis said. "If you don't want to come with me, that's fine. I'll go by myself." So she headed toward the driveway, walking real slow, to give Rose time to chase after her. Sure enough, Rose ran up beside her and said, "Wait! How about if we go this afternoon?" Amanda has diving lessons at the pool. "Well," Mavis looked toward the driveway and then back at Rose. "I suppose. Then what are we going to do now?" "Let's go see Mr. Duffy." "Okay. But don't say anything about another dog, okay?" Rose said. "Okay." So the two of them headed off up the road toward the gatehouse. Mr. Duffy was wearing the same plaid shirt he'd worn yesterday. His baggy pants dragged on the floor as he ambled around the gatehouse, watering the droopy yellow begonia. "I guess I've been neglecting this thing a bit," he said. Mavis took the clipboard off Mr. Duffy's desk. "Is this today's list of visitors?" she said. Mr. Duffy shook his head and frowned at some papers on the desk. "That baby they hired to work the night shift went and mixed up all my stuff." He tossed some papers into a drawer. "Kids only got one oar in the water, if you ask me." Mavis nodded at some packages in the corner of the room. "What are those?" "Some packages that came for the Grahams over on Mimosa Drive when they were on vacation last week," Mr. Duffy said. "Did you tell them they were here?" Rose asked. "Of course I did," Mr. Duffy snapped. "Believe me, those biggity folks be flinging a hissy fit if I hadn't." He took a sip of coffee from a mug that had Great Smoky Mountains National Park on the side with a picture of a bear. "But naturally, I didn't tell them fast enough," he said. "Everybody's so all-fired impatient these days. They want to eat the corn pudding before the corn's even planted." Mavis pointed to the dog bed beside Mr. Duffy's chair. The fluffy round bed with Queenie embroidered in blue. "You ought to give that to the Salvation Army. I bet there's lots of people who could use it for their dog." Mavis jumped when Rose jabbed her with her elbow. Hard. "That's Queenie's bed," Rose said. Mr. Duffy looked at the bed with sad, watery eyes and scratched his chin. "I reckon I ought to get rid of that thing," he said. "That do-nothing Jarvis who works on the weekend keeps grumbling about it." "Or you could save it for another dog," Mavis said. Rose widened her eyes at Mavis and shook her head. Uh-oh, Mavis had gone and done it again. "Sorry," she mouthed silently to Rose. "I have to go," Rose said, and marched out of the gatehouse, her sandals slapping on the linoleum floor. Then the phone on Mr. Duffy's desk rang, making him jump. Somebody on the other end of the line was hollering, and a car behind the appliance repair truck honked, and Mavis decided it was time to go home. While Mavis sat on her bed and watched TV in the little apartment over the garage, Her mother heated leftover macaroni and cheese in the microwave oven and complained. I don't know why they have to eat every meal in the dining room. Would it kill them to eat in the kitchen like normal people do? She said. But no, I have to schlep that precious china in and out about 100 times a day. Mavis turned the television up a little louder. And you'd think maybe they could use a paper napkin once in a while, so I wouldn't have to wash and iron those fancy cloth napkins of theirs. She wrote a big T in the air with a finger and added, monogrammed, of course. She scooped macaroni and cheese onto a paper plate and brought it to Mavis. Tomorrow I'm supposed to make melon balls, she said. Who in the world has ever heard of melon balls? Then she jerked open the tiny window over the sink and lit a cigarette. This might have been a mistake, May, she said, after blowing a steam of smoke through the window screen. Oh, and you should have heard her when I used a dust rag on the old painting in the library. She went on. You'd thought that ugly thing was the Mona Lisa or something. She stubbed her cigarette out in the sink. Library, she said, rolling her eyes, and then left out a little I'm telling you, May, that woman's got her nose so far up in the air, she's gonna drown in a rainstorm. She flopped down on the bed and draped an arm over her eyes. The best part of the day is taking the garbage out when Monroe Tucker is in the garden, she said. He's a bit of a looker, don't you think, May? But Mavis didn't answer. She was too busy thinking. She was thinking about Rose, who was mad at her for mentioning getting another dog to Mr. Duffy when she had promised she wouldn't. She was thinking about why she was so bad at being a best friend. And she was thinking about how she was going to find that dog, Henry. Rose. Rose couldn't believe that she was mad at Mavis again. But she had every right to be, didn't she? Hadn't Mavis gone and done exactly what Rose had asked her not to do? It nearly broke Rose's heart thinking about Mr. Duffy's face when Mavis said that about Queenie's bed to the Salvation Army. When she had gotten home, Rose had gone up to Grace's room and sat on the thick pink carpet. She looked around at Grace's gymnastic ribbons taped to the dresser mirror, the dried-up prom corsage on the bookshelf, the teddy bear some boy had given her, nestled in cushions of the rocker by the window. Before long, Rose realized she wasn't mad anymore. Maybe a little sullen and broody, but not actually mad. After a while, she went downstairs to the library and called Grace. She used to call her every day, but Grace was always busy doing fun things at the lake in Maine. So now she only called when she really, really needed to talk. Today, Rose really, really needed to talk. The phone rang and rang, and Rose was ready to give up when Grace answered in that breathless way of hers, saying, Rosie. Rose told Grace how worried she was about Mr. Duffy, and how he seemed so sad, and how folks in Magnolia Estates were always complaining about him. And Grace said the perfect Grace thing. Ah, those old biddies complain about everything. Don't worry about it. Then Rose told her about her new friend Mavis and how they had a best friends club and how Mavis wanted to find a dog for Mr. Duffy. A best friends club? Grace squealed. That's great, Rosie. And looking for a dog sounds like fun. Rose felt a wave of comfort settle over her. Grace had a way of doing that. She was going to tell Grace about the dog in the woods, but then she heard girls gibbering and laughing in the background, and Grace said she had to go. After that, Rose went outside and found Mavis, who was drawing with chalk on the apartment steps. I'm sorry I got mad, Rose said. Mavis looked up from her drawing and said, That's okay. Then she put the chalk back down and stood up. I shouldn't have mentioned a dog to Mr. Duffy again. You asked me not to, but I did anyway. Mavis blushed a little and added, I'm sorry. Then Mavis made up a special handshake that involved slapping palms and snapping fingers and bumping fists. They practiced it over and over until they could do it perfectly every time. Then they made a plan to look for the dog in the woods the following afternoon. That evening at supper, Rose took tiny bites of cream corn and tried hard not to make a face. Making faces over food she didn't like irked her mother. Her father was on his third helping of beef Wellington and sipping red wine when her mother launched into a tirade about Mr. Duffy. Gerald Berkeley said nearly every time he gets to the gatehouse, the coffee is practically burnt up in the bottom of the pot with the coffee maker on. Mr. Tully glanced at Mrs. Tully, a most disinterested glance. Then he sliced a piece of beef Wellington and said, "Who is Gerald Berkeley?" Mrs. Tully crossed her arms. "I told you," she said, "the new night shift gatekeeper." Mr. Tully just nodded and said, "Oh." Mrs. Tully went on, "And Connie Jacobs says that when Mr. Duffy goes out to check on something, he leaves the keys right in the door lock so every criminal in town can go in there and help themselves." "Help themselves to what, Cora?" Mr. Tully asked. "I don't know, Robert," her mother said. "Whatever's in there, I suppose." Mr. Tully lifted his eyebrows, said, "Hmm," and went back to eating and sipping wine. "And not only will he not wear that uniform he was given," Mrs. Tully continued, "but he wears the same raggedy clothes day in and day out. It's embarrassing." "Embarrassing to whom?" Mr. Tully said. Her mother placed her fork carefully on the plate and put her hands in her lap, leaning forward, and said, "To everyone, Robert." She looked at her plate and frowned. "This beef Wellington is way overdone." Mr. Tully winked at Rose, and she winked back. The dining room grew quiet. The sound of silver forks on china plates seemed to echo and bounce against the flowered wallpaper and drift up to the crystal chandelier. When Miss Jeter came to clear the table, Rose quickly spread the cream corn around on the plate as if it looked like she had eaten some. "Do y'all want that sherbet now?" Miss Jeter asked. "Sorbet," Miss Tully corrected her. "And yes, please," she added. Rose was certain she heard Miss Jeter say, "Whatever," as she left through the swinging kitchen door. That night in bed, Rose thought about that dog, Henry. Would she and Mavis be able to find him? Was he out there in the woods behind Amanda's house right now? And if they found him, would Mr. Duffy want him? And if he wanted him, would he be able to love him as much as he loved Queenie? And if he loved him that much, would he stop being sad and forgetful? Rose wished she could be sure about everything like Mavis was, but she wasn't. She had a lot of questions, didn't she? Mavis rode the skateboard up and down the driveway and waited for Rose to come outside. She wished Rose wasn't such a worrywart. Worried about going into the woods, worried about Amanda Sim tattling, worrying about Mr. Duffy. But still, Rose was her best friend. Mavis supposed you had to accept your best friend just the way they are, even if they happen to worry a lot. When Monroe Tucker started using the weed whacker around the edges of the flower beds, Mavis left the skateboard in the driveway and ran around back to peer through the window in the kitchen door. Her mother was in there scrubbing the copper bottom of a pot, something Mavis knew she hated to do. "I don't get why the bottom of a gall darn pot has to be shiny and perfect. It's a pot, for criminy's sake," her mother had complained just the night before. "Hasn't she ever heard of the pot calling the kettle black?" Mavis opened the door a crack and said, "Where's Rose?" "How should I know, Mavis? I'm too busy being Cinderella." She slammed the pot onto the kitchen counter and reached for another one. Mavis pushed the door open, and before her mother could holler at her, she darted across the kitchen, through the swinging door, over the thick dining room rug, and across the shiny marble floor in the foyer, and up the stairs to Rose's room. Hey, Mavis said. Let's go look for Henry. Rose looked surprised to see Mavis in her bedroom, but she looked even more surprised when Miss Jeter burst into the room and let out a string of harsh words for Mavis. What on earth was she thinking, busting into this house like that? Couldn't she go one day without giving her mother a headache? How many times have they gone over the rules? Mavis's answers were short. I don't know. Yes, ma'am. About 100. Then Miss Jeter stormed off back downstairs, with the stomp, stomp, stomp of her angry footsteps fading in the rattling of pots and pans drifting up from the kitchen. Mavis grinned at Rose. Let's go look for Henry, she said. Rose hesitated, but then said, okay. So off they went down the driveway and up the road toward Amanda's house, Rose running along beside Mavis on the skateboard. When they got closer, Mavis got off the skateboard and said, okay, now we have to be stealthy. Rose didn't answer. She looked around nervously, as if Amanda was going to jump out from behind a tree any minute. Here's what we do, Mavis said. We run as fast as we can through Amanda's front yard and then along the fence until we get to the woods, and then we start looking. Easy peasy. Mavis put the skateboard behind a shrub on the side of the road and motioned for Rose to follow her. Then she took off running across the yard, up the brick walkway that ran beside the garage, along the wrought iron fence that enclosed the backyard, and into the woods behind the house. When they were far enough into the woods, Mavis stopped, her hands on her knees, panting. Rose sat on the ground and dumped dirt out of her sandals and brushed pine needles out of her hair. And then she looked up at Mavis and said, I don't think I should be here. Oh, good grief, Rose, don't be such a scaredy cat. I'm not a scaredy cat. Mavis lifted her eyebrows and crossed her arms. I'm not, Rose said, not very convincingly. Mavis shrugged. If you say so. Then she started off through the woods, stepping over rotting logs and pushing past tangled vines and overgrown shrubs. Every now and then she glanced behind her. Rose was following, looking very unhappy. Mavis cupped her hands around her mouth and began to call, Henry! Here, boy! Henry! Then imagine Mavis's surprise when a dog pokes its head behind a cluster of holly bushes. Mavis stopped. Rose stopped. The dog's face was white, his ears were brown, and his nose was very long and very thin. This is Henry, Mavis said. It has to be. Mavis took a few slow steps toward the bushes, saying, It's okay, fella. I won't hurt you. The dog stayed put, watching Mavis with fearful brown eyes, but Mavis could hear his tail wagging, swish, 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 in the bushes. So what do we do now? Rose asked. I'm going to try and grab him. I don't think that's a good idea. He might bite you. Mavis flipped a hand at Rose. I'll let him smell me first. That's what you're supposed to do. Mavis held her hand out toward Henry, who took a slow, careful sniff. And then she took two quick steps toward the bushes, reaching for him. But he was gone in a blink, jumping over logs and darting around trees before disappearing out of sight, leaving Rose and Mavis alone in the woods. Okay, girls, that's all for tonight. I think they should have brought a treat so they could lure him in, don't you? Night.